Since we're running a little, about 15 minutes behind, I'd like to call to order the planning committee meeting Monday, February 28th. We're getting started a little late.
We're good.
Can we please get some order in the room? Thank you. Calling to order the meeting, the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. I know Mr. Chapman has a, do we need a motion to approve and then an amendment?
I'll move the approval of the minutes.
And second.
But I have an amendment to make. On the case with 1131, Louise Terrace, the motion was called for by the chairperson to deny the zoning request. In the minutes, it states that the motion passed on a 1-3 vote, which you can't have. So my amendment is to amend the minutes to show that the motion failed on a 1-3 vote.
All right, and that's in the form of a motion to amend?
Yes, ma'am.
Do I have a second on the motion to amend?
Second.
All right. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 All right, and then onto the original motion for approval of the minutes. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Item number 3 on the agenda is public comment. If you have public comment, please come forward to the podium. You have 2 minutes to speak. Is there anyone here to speak for public comment? All right, going once, going twice, and public comment is now closed. Item number 4 is discussion regarding consideration to amend zoning code schedule of off-street parking requirements.
This has been back and forth. I know committee, it's been at the level of committee for discussion for several months, and Corporation Council put together a possible text amendment. It went to council last month, and it was sent back to committee for further discussion regarding how to move forward. And Mr. Pagliarini is here to answer any questions or discuss the issue.
All right. Do members of the committee have any further thoughts on this? I think we kind of got some direction from full council. Go ahead.
I think my recollection is I didn't feel like we had a good feeling from that council meeting. I think the vote passed to pass it on, but I'm still not comfortable with, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, honestly, just from what everybody was saying. And that's where I'm at.
Ms. Hyatt, how about you?
I think my main concern with it is that the businesses just need to, if they're going to put up a sign about parking, that they need to state that the spaces are for their business only, just so that the public is aware that it's not open parking, even for a fee, that they are at least honoring our parking ordinance by providing for their customers. So I think that's been my issue with it, that the way it's currently being handled, the public doesn't even realize that their business is required to supply those spaces for their business, and it's not open parking. So that's just been my main concern, that if they're going to have a sign, they should at least state that the parking is for their business only.
Mm. And I kind of like the suggestion from our attorneys that at least we put something in an ordinance fashion to suggest that there is a requirement for a certain number of spaces for that business, and how it's enforced by that business, I guess, is going to have to be left up to them. But certainly this all came about because of an issue where a business began and now it's expanded to other locations. But a business was using a means of restricting access when for their business, when they're supposed to have a certain number of spaces available. And that's the reason this all came up. But I like what the attorneys suggested, and I would like to suggest we send that back to council with the attorney's recommendation.
So, Mr. Pagliarini?
Madam Chair, may I say something while he's walking
up? Yes, of course.
I'm I know that we don't like signs, and the thought of some ugly signs, just, I can't get past that. So, some more ugly signs like we have, you know, where. But yeah.
I think, yeah, what my statement was, they're already putting up a sign.
Right.
To say they're charging for the parking. Mm-hmm. So I feel that we should add for our customers only or something. I mean, I'm not suggesting new signs but if they already have a sign, it should better explain what the situation is, that the parking is for their business only. You know, you may use this app and we'll reimburse you or whatever, however it's stated now, but they do need to at least let people know that the parking is meant for their business.
I can get behind that.
Because it's honoring our ordinance.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. The proposed ordinance is currently drafted. Simply says you cannot charge, a business cannot charge for parking for its required spaces. Ma'am, I believe what you're suggesting is sort of an add-on to that, that if you're going to, doesn't say that you can't reimburse or have some system of reimbursement, but if you're going to do that, then you must further disclose that these spaces belong and are for the purpose of that business.
Right.
And that's, again, why I suggested at least having something on the record talking about that there are a certain number of spaces that a business is required to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was the primary concern, right, is that we have a parking ordinance that has people with a certain number of required parking spaces, and if they are charging for that parking, does that count as public parking, truly? So do you feel like you have enough information from us?
Yes, ma'am. I think we worked it out at this committee last month, at least to what that would look like. And we can do one of two things. We can send that to this committee and put on the council agenda for this month. If you have any comments, obviously you can send them back, or we can just have a final version for you next month. We're happy either way.
I think it's fine to have a version for us next month for this committee, something that we can look at and discuss and before we send it to full council again. Does that sound?
Yep.
Okay. You don't need a motion from us?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
I understand.
Great. That completes item number four. Item number five is review of the Planning Commission recommendations. Item A.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. So this is a continuation of what you heard last at your last meeting.
Second.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the motion.
Move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve in a second. We are in discussion. This is a request to annex Louise Terrace.
To annex. Mm-hmm.
Yes. To annex. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any discussion on the annexation?
No, ma'am.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Item B is the request to rezone to townhouse district. And this is the second piece of that property, right?
Yes, ma'am.
The other one's already in first reading.
Yes, ma'am. Had first reading. It was approved. Again, this went to Planning Commission. It's for the larger parcel on the corner there with the star. Planning Commission did again recommend denial. They recommended denial of the last one. They felt like it was what was proposed as far as townhouses was out of character with the surrounding single-family residential existing development patterns. So it is currently in the county. It's zoned R4, which is single-family residential. It is proposed for mixed neighborhood, which does allow for townhouse, but it also allows for single-family. So it's a diversity of housing based on the existing character and the surrounding development patterns.
Now, one of the things that has come to my attention, and I think to the attention of the rest of the members of this committee, is that there is a petition signed by pretty much every single homeowner of a single family home around that property requesting that we deny the rezoning to townhome, that they want to maintain the integrity of the neighborhood as R1. So I'm not sure if that impacts the rest of the members of this committee, but I see that this still fits within the mixed neighborhood community standards mm-hmm. that is required by the comp plan. R1 is permissible and townhome is permissible. So I think that is useful knowledge that we to have as we move forward. Do we have a motion?
I'd like to move to deny.
All right, we have a motion to deny the townhouse district rezoning. Is there a second on that?
A second for discussion.
All right, we have a second for purposes of discussion. Is there any further discussion of this? Yes, Ms. Hyatt.
I would say, Commission pointed it out as well, that the comp plan states that building heights must be context-sensitive and provide transition so as not to overwhelm adjacent existing developments of smaller-scale buildings. So normally, these things are taken, you know, on a case-by-case basis because we have to consider the surrounding area. I know there are townhouses nearby, but the neighborhood is buffered. It seems, if you have an aerial picture, you can see from this picture, if you, you know, take the neighborhood as a whole, it seems that it was taken into consideration when these townhouses or condos were built. They put the buffers, you know, on the neighborhood side, and they pushed these towards the midtown high-density development. So to me, when I go into that neighborhood, I'm not, you know, taken over by these existing condos. But I feel like two lots that are in the neighborhood, they could build, what, 36 feet height? What is that the townhouse?
Currently permitted, well, for single family as well, you could do 35 feet
right.
height.
Correct. But it would be, what, 12? Up to 12 units
with all
lots.
Of the development standards for townhouse, yeah, it would probably be about 10 to 12 units. And just kind of guessing, if it were to come in as R1, 10,000 square foot lots, 80 by 110, perhaps five single family lots, something like that.
So they, you know, they could do some substantial improvement with this, still leaving it as single family, and I feel have less impact on the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. When we've had so many reach out and say they really don't want the character of their neighborhood changed after being there for so long. And we also just got out of a great flood resilience talk, and I just have a problem with changing two houses into a couple of dozen instead. So for me, I don't feel like we should be increasing the density in that area, considering the neighborhood and the scale of what's already there.
All right. Is there any other comment, Mr. Chapman?
Madam Chairman, I usually try to go along with the Planning Commission for a very good reason. They have a tough job to do once a month on a Wednesday night, and it's tough. I understand that. In this area, this is an area in transition. We've got condominiums essentially all around this area. We have property owners that want to do something reasonable with their property. If you all take a look at what the definition of single family, how many people can be in a single family house, you'd be surprised. And it starts with the immediate family. It then says you can have blood relatives in the house. It then says you can have people who are doing work for you in the house, and on and on. That's something that I've asked the planning department to bring to us at our next meeting, because we might want to change with the current definition for single family and how many people can be in it. I don't think we're increasing the number of people in the area. I think what we're trying to do is clean up this area. And a property right next to this is currently either a bed and breakfast or a cottage for rental. And the sign's right there if you go by it. So it's not now just single family in there. It's almost like they've got a motel next to them as well. So we're not changing a lot. What we're trying to do is make it better. And I'm going to vote against the motion.
All right. Ms. Corley?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
You ready?
All right. All those in favor of the motion to deny, say aye.
Wait, aye.
So
the motion to deny.
We've been keeping it at R1.
Okay.
All right. Motion to deny?
Aye.
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 And those against?
No.
All right. So 3 is in favor of denial of the rezoning request. And 1 is against. All right. Item number B, 5B, to amend the Coaxum Tract PD.
Thank you, ma'am. This is actually called Moore's Landing now, formerly known as the Coaxum Tract. It was originally approved in 2016 as a PDCD, which is a Plan Development Conservation Design District. So the purpose of that is to cluster your single family and to have larger, more integrated open space. And so that's how the development was approved. It is kind of nestled between, you have Billy Swells Boulevard there, and then if you think over off of Highway 17, the off Dingle Road by the CVS, it kind of backs up to the back of that. So that's the aerial of it. It is a PD. It's recommended for settlement community. So again, it was when it was approved, it's about 20 acres, 61 single family lots on at about 3 units an acre. It had about 6.5 acres dedicated to open space, and again, this allowed for the for those large interconnected areas. And you can see this was the original plan that was approved in 2016. And so it moved forward, and around 2017, 2018, they came across an issue with some jurisdictional wetlands. So they had to come do a PD amendment and change the map associated with the plan development. So they came through and did that, and you can see the wetlands running through the top there. So you can see how the layout changed specifically on this original plan, and I'm going to talk specifically about lots 11 through 16, 22 through 23, and then it affects 17 through 19. But the way that those were originally designated, they were supposed to, 100%. The focal point was supposed to be that green space or open space. So there was text in the plan development that said those lots have to have their front facing the open space or green space. Well, when they came through in 2018, 2019 and amended their plan because of that jurisdictional wetland, obviously it changed the focal point. And so now they're getting permits, and it really, aesthetically, it doesn't make sense requiring those houses along those same lots within that area to face out. They really need to face the street now. And what happened was the text did not get amended with that map amendment, and it wasn't discovered until they started applying for building permits. And so this is really kind of a cleanup to make the text match the adopted map. And so we're just, they're proposing to delete one sentence, which says, homes abutting open spaces in the center of the development will front the open space and be accessed by pathways in lieu of street side sidewalks. Again, it's just deleting that one text so they can move forward with building permits and have them face the street due to the change in the layout of the development. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Planning Commission recommended approval unanimously.
Move to approve. We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Was this extra wetlands found after the construction of Billy Swales?
I do not, I'm not, I don't know. I'm not sure when it was discovered. I know it was right around late October 2017 when it came to their attention. And they've been dealing with that for quite some time and had to come back and change the layout. But I'm not sure if it was associated with Billy Swales Boulevard. The applicant may be here and may be able to speak to it, or maybe he's not here, so.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
I wanted to mention one thing. This does result in same amount of open space, an increase in the wetlands, and 61 lots reduced down to 55. So yeah, there's no loss of open space, and there's no increase in any density.
All right, great. We have a motion to approve in a second. There's no further discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item number 6, discussion and possible action regarding notification of proposed commercial projects in the town.
Okay.
All right, Ms. Hyatt, I believe you asked for this to be on the agenda.
Yes. I had wondered about this, and we got an email a while back from a concerned citizen, and I could not find the email because I think emails are deleted out of my account after a certain day, so that I didn't realize, so when I went to look for it. But anyways, I know we've been told there's an interactive map where people can find projects. I think what her email had addressed was that there were things that had come up in the news or that neighborhoods have found out about that she didn't find on the map. So I just wanted to start a discussion about finding a way to post projects that are in process. Maybe when is the right time, because I know some things come and don't come to fruition. And what might be an easy way for things to be posted for the public to know and be aware, rather than reading it in the paper when it's already approved, so that we have don't get surprises and hate mail from citizens.
So I put together just a few slides kind of explaining our current process and how it works. And I can go through those real quick, and then we can, maybe that can spur some discussion. So just with our, and we keep calling it new, but it's really not new anymore, our DRT process, which is our internal process for reviewing things that are either going to go to DRB or Planning Commission. You have to go through DRT first. So upon initial application for either of those boards, you do have to go through DRT for a conceptual review. This level of review is like a pre-app. There's nothing advertised. There's nothing put out. This is all sort of a brainstorming. Can we do this? Will it work? They meet monthly. DRT meets monthly for commercial projects. And how that works is we give them feedback and say, you know, here's going to be your major challenges. Here's what you're going to have to do. Then it's on them to revise and make it a better submittal. After those things are addressed, we also look at, I know we've had some that before they can even go to DRB, if they can't meet their zoning requirements, they have to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals or other things like that. So they have to, before you go to DRB, you do have to meet all of your zoning requirements or have some sort of approval from the Board of Zoning Appeals. So DRB submittals to the actual board are required 2 weeks prior to the meeting date. And those can come in the form of preliminary or final. We have no requirement. It depends on how ready they are. And DRB agendas are posted on the Monday after that submittal deadline, and staff reports are then finalized and linked to the agenda the following Monday. After the meeting, the agendas are updated with all the decisions. We've been doing that with all of our boards and commissions. So if you go and look, you can see it in red, all the decisions and what was done. And just to kind of give you, on the left is our DRT process. Again, that's an internal staff meeting. That's not something we post, but it's available to the public if you want that information. And then if you go to the website, we have our agendas and minutes, and then we have our Notify Me. And we always tell people to sign up for Notify Me. And if you just go and you click on every agenda you want, if you want to know what's going on DRB, you'll automatically get that. Every time the meeting, the agenda is posted, it'll come to you automatically. We always recommend that. And this is trying to give you an idea, because I know what happens is people start hearing about these things and it hasn't necessarily went through DRB yet, but our DRT agendas, it becomes difficult because many of those things are sort of a brainstorming back and forth. Many of it never comes to fruition. So it's kind of like what you said, Ms. Hyde, at what point, and then again, is it preliminary? Is it final approval and those sorts of things? But this is kind of a look at what our DRT agendas look like.
And is DRT, I'm so sorry. DRT is an internal staff. Those are staff members. It is not an appointed commission. The DRB is the appointed commission. DRT is a staff review agenda.
Yes, ma'am. And it involves folks from every department, transportation, public services, fire, police, planning, engineering. And we all sit and we review a submittal in whatever form it is. Typically, it's some sort of feasibility or conceptual meeting, and identify issues and just provide that initial feedback so that there's, if they can move forward, they can move forward with a more complete, accurate submittal. So this is kind of an idea of what our DRT agendas look like, again, internally.
And those are posted publicly on?
No.
No. Okay.
Because these aren't public open meetings, but the DRT agenda is available if you contact staff and you want it, but it's not something we post because it's a staff meeting.
Gotcha.
But we, Madam Chair, we should discuss the reason for the DRT. I mean, this is many complain around the country that they'll have a project and they have to go from one department to the next, and fire inspectors are reviewing plans and have adjustments to a plan that someone who has submitted a plan thought they had everything clear. This is a, everyone who can make a decision is at the table to help facilitate projects. So as Michelle said, many never come together. So in my view, you didn't ask my opinion, it's extremely impractical for this type of a, this type of gathering of employees is a very good thing. It's massively efficient, but it would ruin the efficiency of it, in my opinion, particularly in the event many of these cases don't come to fruition, to make this more of a public entity. That way you introduce citizens, maybe rightfully, who have a concern about the impact of a project that may never come to fruition anyway. It's sort of unfair to the interests who are applying at that very moment in time. There's definitely a process later.
Madam Chairman, let me just add to Mr. DeMora. Over 20 years ago, when I worked for the city of Charleston, we had what at that time was called our DRB, which was Design Review Board. And it was very, very good, not only for the applicant, but also for the town staff to hear what other town staff members had to say. And it was not something that would be cause for public input because, you wouldn't know if it was going to be approved or not approved until after the DRB saw it. And then it went to a public board, whether it was a planning commission or whether it was, you know, some other entity like the historic commission or something. But at any rate, it's a great deal for the town. It's a great deal for us to have stuff like that not even come to us if it doesn't, if it's not going to pass muster. Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing.
Well,
yeah. And then just to finish up, this is our projects and applications map. So if it's Board of Zoning Appeals, Planning Commission, DRB, Old Village Historic District, all the applications are identified on the map, and then also things that are just continuing on. So the example here is that it's under construction. So this site here, it's under construction. If you have questions, it's got a contact person. And then all of these little dots have a link to an agenda, which has a link to a staff report, which has a link to minutes, which so everything's kind of linked together. And then again, what we've tried to do as well is just immediately after a meeting, we update our agendas to identify what happened, and then we post that so it's available to the public as well. So that's kind of how we do things now. And I know Mr. Pagliarini is here, so he can speak to that. I will say that the Planning Act does not require a design review board, but it allows the local government to establish it. And DRB holds a public meeting versus what Planning Commission holds, which is a public hearing. So the public hearing has different state and notification requirements versus a public meeting. And so I think sometimes when people think there's not a sign, it's not in the newspaper as an ad, there's confusion versus what is a public hearing versus a public meeting. And our public hearings are conducted by Planning Commission and our Board of Zoning Appeals. And so those are the ones that get the yellow signs and those sorts of things. But that's kind of where we're at, and I'm happy to answer questions. Or
are there any questions from the committee? Ms. Hyatt?
I guess my question is just, when is the ideal time to post it? Is it we wait until it's already going to DRB when it's posted on the map? Is that the timing?
We do. When they apply to go to Design Review Board, that's when it gets on an agenda and the agenda gets posted. And that would be a good week and a half, almost 2 weeks before the meeting. And if you're signed up for Notify Me, once that agenda's posted, it'll get emailed to you. So you're going to get notified almost 2 weeks in advance. But you have to sign up for things. You have to, you know, people have to go and look for these things too, because we try to make everything public and transparent, but it's difficult to, you know, if folks don't sign up and do those sorts of things and go looking for it. And so we always tell people, sign up for Notify Me, that's the best thing. Because as soon as it comes, you don't have to remember to go and look for the agenda. It's going to show up in your email. Then you got to open it and read it and see if there's anything going on that affects you. But that goes for BOZA. You can sign up for any sort of agenda whatsoever and get that emailed to you.
Is there a way to have like a quick links, like, cause I know on the Town of Mount Pleasant website, it's like, I want to ... And there, is there a way to like quick link, like see what projects are in the pipeline? Is there a way to add that to the quick links so that people can, cause what I feel like at this point in time is it takes so much effort to get to the information to, you have to go to the, like find the agenda page, find the particular agenda, then go to the hyperlinks and, you know, step by step. But if there was just a quick link to the map, maybe of all the projects or something that would make it more navigable for people looking for that. And then does the planning department have social media at all? I know a lot of departments do, but I don't know if the planning, I follow most of them, but I've seen public services, I've seen police,
yeah,
fire.
We've started it with our Take Root, okay. Mount Pleasant, and so that's something we could look at as far as expanding. Obviously, we just have our website, but like I said, we have started Take Root Mount Pleasant, putting that out there. We've considered it with our livability division, perhaps once that gets going, and we have some things that we want to put out doing that. The quick links, I presume there's a way to do that. That's outside of my wheelhouse.
But yeah, I mean, your points are well taken. We should have a quick link. I have heard it's difficult to access. And I think we realized some time back, I know Michelle's working on this, keeping that application map updated. They could fall a little behind before, and that doesn't help. So the quick links, regular updates, I think will help a lot.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, this is just, I feel like, the way of it. People aren't aware of an issue till someone finds it and then posts it and then, you know, shares it to their network, and then people get wind of it, and then it sort of expands from there. And then people act like there was no information, but when it was published in an agenda, but people don't know to come to that agenda, they don't know to come to that particular site in order to find the thing. So, you know, I think if there are major projects kind of in the pipeline too, letting, you know, maybe letting the council members or committee members know when those kind of things are coming through the pipeline so that we can, because we can share it with social media and say, just, you know, FYI, this is a project that's coming down the pipeline, or this is something that we can, I think the quick links will help a lot as well.
Okay.
Ms. Corley?
I agree 100%. I think those are great ideas.
Ms. Hyatt?
I was just going to say, my main concern is if the public doesn't know until it's already at the ERB, it's, that to me is a little late, because they've gone pretty far through the process, and I feel it's unfair to the developer to have an outcry, you know, that late in the game when they think they're, you know, through the door. So I just thought if there was a little bit earlier flag for the public in some way to know that it's going on before. I just didn't know when would be the ideal time to indicate these projects, you know, when we know they're going to DRB, but maybe early enough where some things could be taken into consideration. I don't know. I just hate that it goes that far before anybody finds out, and then
public input.
Yeah, and then that's pretty far along to have people try to get in the way of something that's already been worked on for so long. You know, I feel like it would help us to hear from them a little earlier. So maybe the slightest thing could be taken into consideration that would save us all a whole lot of trouble, you know? So
yeah,
I just didn't know if there was a little bit easier, a little bit earlier time.
I think the most important thing is to keep in mind that once something gets to DRB, it's meeting all of our zoning requirements.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, it would be at BOZA, and you would see yellow signs, mm-hmm. and you would see an ad for that. Design Review Board is really just that. They're looking at the architecture, the site, and the landscaping, and it meets the zoning ordinance. And so I think, I understand it seems like something just pops up on DRB, but there's been a lot of behind the scenes, like with the DRT, making sure they do meet all of our zoning requirements, and we don't require, we don't allow it to go further unless it does meet the zoning ordinance. And so
I don't know though if we can ever truly be in a position where a citizen or a neighbor may not be surprised by what's happening. I mean, it's almost like, in my view of the discussion, it's a where do you fall in this balance between citizens' right to be aware and comment and scrutinize versus a property owner's rights under the laws of the town, right, to move forward with whatever it is they're doing with their property. I mean, at some point, if somebody comes in, I can't think of a good example right now, but they want to improve their property with something and they meet all of our laws. It's a commercial project. I don't know how it'd be very difficult to inform the public of what's happening next to them before it ends up on a DRB agenda, because there's no trigger. Council has already decided these issues at that point. So I guess where I'm going, Ms. Hyde, I'm sorry, because you mentioned this, is I can still envision, even if we do a better job with the quick links and keeping the applications page updated and then letting you know of big projects, right? Outside of that, I can still imagine smaller projects meeting all the requirements of the town, arriving on a DRB agenda because of the volume that we face in this community. And some citizens still being surprised. I don't know a way to fix that.
Right. I just wanted to make sure we were doing the best we can for everybody.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is there anything further on item number 6?
No.
All right, moving on. Item number 7. And Ms. Hyatt asked for this to be on the agenda as well.
I was trying to see. There were two things that are very similar. So, discussion. Our ordinance right now, we got rid of the overlay, and right now, mixed use is allowed, of course, and we're allowed 12 units per acre, right, as residential? In the, and in commercial?
Yeah, units. And that's been in place regardless of the overlay. So the way our ordinance is written, if you have it's a duplex, multifamily, and single family is all a conditional use in a commercial district, subject to density, which is 12 units an acre, it can't be on the ground level, and it has to have direct access to the street level. So that's all currently in our ordinance and has been for a while. I think what changed with the Boulevard overlay is we reduced it from 16 down to 12 to be comparable to this. But this is also subject to the moratorium and the building permit allocation system. And so I had to go back and look, but the moratorium is still in effect until March 2023. And the building permit allocation system is still in effect until 2024, and there are no multifamily units for either of those unless it's a workforce housing development. And so I think that we had a kickoff meeting last week. I think this is top priority. Our first two subchapters are going to be zoning districts, densities, and our permitted uses. And so this is going on right now. We're working on it. So,
and is this going to be aligned? The results from the consultants will be, aligned with the comprehensive plan as far as the densities?
Yeah, and we already have that, Ms. Whitley. We made this amendment back in May of last year to make all of our new designations in our new comprehensive plan, to put them in our zoning ordinance. So this is this right here is consistent with our comprehensive plan. I think what Ms. Hyatt was talking about was getting into those, and this is where you're talking about. These two items are very similar. This is where we get into our redevelopment centers and our hubs, and that's, we're going to address all that through the code rewrite, even though we've already addressed those different densities based on the future land use. And just to kind of reiterate, we do have the more, We have the moratorium, we have the building permit allocation in place, so that buys us a good year and a half, 2 years to really get this right, and it's not going to take that long. Like I said, these are being worked on right now by our consultant. One thing I did want to point out on our redevelopment centers, we've got two of them. They allow a maximum of one unit per developable acre. And in order to even do residential in our redevelopment centers, it has to be a mixed-use PD that's approved by town council. And so there's definitely some, there's some safety measures in place right now as we're writing and updating our zoning code that protects us while we do those sorts of things. And one of them is the town council would have to approve any sort of residential development in those areas.
Okay. Ms. Hyatt?
I brought this up because I just wanted us to talk about whether we felt 12 was the right number. It's in the commercial areas when we're doing mixed use. So, you know, if there's a large 8-acre, 9-acre tract, they would be able to build quite a few residential units on those properties. So I thought before the moratorium wears off, this is something that we should talk about as far as how many residential units we really would want in a commercially zoned property, since we do allow mixed use. So that was the point of it. Okay. Is 4 per acre more reasonable? 10-acre tract, that'd be 40 apartments, or is 12 okay? Where you could get is, you know, on a 9-acre piece, you could get a lot of residential units.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, does anyone else on?
No, ma'am.
No,
12 is good with y'all, Corley?
I would support a bit lower. I'm not sure, just taking temperatures, but maximum, if we went with 4, would be how many? If we changed it to 4
per acre, it would just depend on the size of the property involved, right? But R1 zoning is 3 per acre already. Is that correct?
Well, R1 is the zoning. The 3 units per acre applies to, as you can see here, conventional residential and agricultural forested. And so
right.
6 units an acre is traditional residential neighborhood.
Okay.
Mixed neighborhoods is 9, and our Waterfront Gateway Republic, which is 41, is 6 units an acre, and Waterfront Patriots Point is 12 units an acre.
6.
And the conditional, the residential and the AB conditional use, we've had that for many years. We've mm-hmm. never had anybody develop under it except for Oyster Park, which is what just came through with a PD amendment where the bylaw is. That's mm-hmm. And that was in the Boulevard Overlay District and densities were higher at that time. But they were zoned AB. They were in the Boulevard Overlay District, and they developed under that conditional. We've never had any other submittal be able to meet the criteria of having the ground floor retail and the separate direct access to the public street on an AB property. I think it's just a difficult conditions to meet.
For me, I feel like we as a council have done so much to, you know, we lower building heights. We have moved, you know, where the conditional use for hotels and those zones, we have done so much with the multifamily moratorium, the permit allocation. We have done so much to restrict residential development in the town. And I think that there has to be, for me, at least mm-hmm. some give in the units. And I feel like reducing the units further, you know, I mean, we see people moving to Mount Pleasant every day, and there's nowhere for them to yeah. go. And so I don't know if we, you know, I'm not saying that we need to accommodate that 100% and throw up tons of apartment complexes, but I think that there needs to be at least some opportunity for some reasonable development to happen mm-hmm. where, I mean, if we reduce things to a really low number of units per acre, then essentially we will get nothing because there is no economic
case for actually building a multifamily apartment complex or anything like that, because if you reduce the density too low, it just is not cost-effective to actually build anything.
Well, I didn't want to speak on this, but I don't want a sterile community, and that's what some people are asking for, a sterile community. You're not going to have a single-family homeowner build in the middle of town center. You're just not going to have it. So then you've got to look at what you need in terms of reasonable reduction. But a commercial area, I mean, there are a number of people who would like to live in a commercial area because they can walk to where they want to go. They can walk to the restaurant. They can walk to the bank. They can walk to go shopping. And they don't want to have to drive their car. That's what a community of reasonable uses is all about. To have everything in your community, a single family residence, does not sit well, and you start to die as a community. That's all I can say.
I hear you 100%, but it's 12 too many when the moratorium goes away, and then there's the workforce affordable workforce housing aspect of it too, right? I feel like the lower the number of units, the higher the price would go, right? So it just lessens those opportunities. So,
well, I think that part of the comprehensive plan was actually to support a percentage of the total residential units in multifamily to be affordable housing. And that's something that we need to that would need to be defined in these zoning districts and density, and make sure that we're legal with state laws and restrictions on sort of requiring affordable housing units. Because I think that was... Wasn't there something that what we used to do was to get workforce housing, we would give additional density in order to get the workforce housing units? I don't know if we're allowed to actually say every new multifamily development must be 30%. I actually don't know that we're allowed to do that. But if we are, we should, and that should be something that is implemented in there. Mm-hmm. And I think that, if we're getting 12 units per acre and we're getting 30% of affordable housing, that creates more affordable housing or more workforce housing than if it was four units per acre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ms. Whitley, we're working on that now. We had the meeting with our consultants and we're talking about it because they wanted us to talk about some things. So we met at our big planning table and we talked about looking at, right now, R3 only allows duplexes. That's the only place you can put a duplex. Why can't you put a duplex in R1 if it meets certain conditions? So we're not even just talking about multifamily here. We're talking about just a variety of housing that's more affordable. And we're looking at those things right now. And you're going to see this. You're going to see the densities. You're going to see the permitted uses. And as we bring you these subchapters,
Yeah, and so. I think that a healthy town has mixed housing stock. Mm-hmm. They have, because everyone is in different places and needs in their life, right? Okay. So my kids are middle school age, and when they are grown and gone, we will need to downsize, and I don't know, my kids maybe want to keep the house, but like we would downsize to something, and then that would be open up that house for someone who has four kids, and maybe someone wants an apartment building because they don't want to deal with the landscaping and that kind of thing. Right. So they don't want to deal with like maintenance of a property. So I think having mixed housing stock is important, and is actually something that is called for in the comprehensive plan. So Ms. Hyatt.
Oh, I was just going to say to Mr. Tapman's point, I mean, this conversation was about on commercially zoned properties.
Exactly.
But we have zonings that's for multifamily zoning that would allow apartment complexes and things. Mm-hmm. This was just a conversation about our commercial properties. How much do we want to be devoted to residential when it's zoned commercial? So it has to do with that mixed use component that we kept when we got rid of the overlay.
And item number 8 is the same.
Well, that has to do with the hubs. Yeah.
Well, the hubs are commercial. Mm-hmm. It's one and the same.
Well, so I think we are kind of taking 7 and 8 together right now, and is there any other thoughts on that or you know, direction for staff, or is this just a discussion we're having? I mean, I feel comfortable that we've got time with the moratorium and the permit allocation to allow the process to move forward with the consultants as far as the edits of the zoning code goes. I think this was a good discussion to have to kind of get a temperature for council for future discussions with the consultants, but I don't know, we need any action. Is everyone comfortable with that?
I agree.
Okay. All right. That's item 7 and 8. Is there anything further to come before this committee?
No, ma'am.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank you so much.
Good job, guys.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.